Good evening, everyone. So I've got a little bit of a testimony for you. I've also got some pictures so you can kind of get a visualization of what we do out there to pull oil from the ground. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Brandon. I was born on September 22nd, 1989, to my parents, Bob and Debbie, who are actually here this evening. In the early years of my life, we lived in the southern part of Houston. Through a few series of events and a decline in the neighborhood, we ended up moving into a town called Fresno, Texas, where I spent the majority of my childhood and teenage years. Being a young man with 5 acres of playground, I found myself spending a lot of time outside getting into everything I could find. Although my family life wasn't lacking in any way at the time, we were not active in the church. Not saying we were unaware of the presence of God or his loving son, Jesus Christ, but in a way, we were runners. This was the norm until one summer when we were participating in a summer league swim team. My parents were approached by a lady, and we were invited to a vacation Bible school. So through this invitation and the nice people that the church had, my parents enjoyed socializing with and began attending what we called Trinity Baptist Church at the time. This marked the beginning of my transition to become an active follower of our Savior Jesus Christ. Although I wasn't the most knowledgeable, nor did I understand the importance of what was taking place in our lives, I found joy and comfort in my new learnings. This was mostly due to the contributions and friendliness of my first youth minister, Bobby. His style of ministry was inviting. I was drawn to his teachings, and in a way I couldn't quite explain or understand at that time in my young life, I was engaged in the word and the lessons he provided. This all changed, though, suddenly, when he received his calling from God and followed through with it. He ended up leaving and going to another church. Through the rest of my junior high and high school years, I continued to attend church with my family, but something was always missing. I went from being engaged and eager to being disengaged, finding myself drifting more than listening to what was said. Let's just say I was at church, but I wasn't necessarily in church. This became the norm for me up to the point of my graduation when I decided to move out on my own and take on the world. Through this life transition, I started my journey of running once again. During my time away from home, I found myself working as a technician. Then I ended up being a wholesale parts representative. And finally, I found my career in the oil and gas industry. Around the same time I transitioned to the oil and gas industry, I began my journey with my beautiful wife, Julia. My life transitioned from your normal 9-to-5 into 98 hours a week of hard physical labor, which was intensive at a duration of 21 and 21, or 3 weeks and 3 weeks. Going from a professional business orientation work style into the oil field was a complete opposite transition from what I was used to. But like most people, I adapted and fit right in. For those of you that aren't familiar with this lifestyle, just imagine a buff of rough-cut men speaking vulgar language with no regard for anything but the task ahead. Long duration of time spent away from family and home didn't help the situation at all. You're made to be tough, hardened, and emotionless. The most common saying we have out there is to leave your feelings on the bank because nobody has time for them here. So what do we do? Exactly what any human would do when God wasn't active in our lives. We put our human needs in front of what really mattered. We didn't treat each other with love or patience. Instead, most emotions were displayed as anger or belittling the ones who were considered to be soft. We put God in a box when we were away from home, only to bring him out again once we left our second home. How could we be so foolish to attempt to limit our limitless God? It's hard to perceive from my own perspective, but through my way of living on the rig, I was living a double life. one way at work and another at home, and at times I would even bring my work identity home with me, responding to everything that was inconvenient to me with anger just out of habit. This continued for the first 5 years of my career until the year 2019. Through some life changes in my current driller's life, and most of us go by nicknames if you don't know that, my nickname is Tiny, as in the little guy, and his nickname was Sweet. So Nathan, or Sweet, found a deep calling from the Lord. He approached us, which was a crew, which is kind of like a family when you're out there, and asked if we would be willing to start a Bible study, and we all agreed. It brings us to a little scripture that kind of tells you what happened, and it says, God will give you a new heart. It also says in 1 Samuel 10:6, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will be changed into a different person. Now, this might not seem like a big deal to most, but in the environment we work in, it is almost unheard of. It took 5 years of me working out there before I ever found God in the workplace. So at this point in my career, I had worked on several different rigs with several different crews, and although God was mentioned, it was never in a sense of true worship. Through the attendance of the studies, the deep discussions we participated in, a lot of our careers, we transitioned from hardened and vulgar men into a godly man. We began our transition once again to become lambs of God. As we continued our studies at work, our congregation grew. So I was introduced to a gentleman who was placed on our crew who had been to the top and then kicked back down to bottom. He was at his lowest point in his life. We hit it off right off the bat, working together, being friends. I knew he had struggles, but didn't quite understand how deep he was cut. We were in one of Nathan, or Sweet's, Bible studies on the rig, and Corey showed up with little knowledge about Jesus, just looking for someone to help him. This was the first time he had ever prayed out loud in front of anyone as well. So it was his first introduction to being with a group and experiencing God. After a few months, we were all placed on different crews, and we only see each other in passing. The way our crew changes work, we work midnight to noon. Some of us work 6 to 6, but we're all opposed. So you may be on a rig, but you may not see somebody for the duration of your 21 days. So even though we were on the same rig, the amount of work and our opposite schedules did not allow Corey to stay or attend our Bible study. He continued to slip away from God. After he tried the ways of the world with no progression in his life, God convicted him, and in March 2022, Corey gave his life to Christ. He struggled to maintain his lifestyle change, trying to understand what God's calling was for him. In a conversation we had one day, he stated he was living a double lifestyle with Jesus. At work, he wanted to change, but struggled with the transition. But at home, he had help. He could hold himself accountable in his studies with Christ, but his walk was still rocky. With no true community to hold him accountable in his actions, his struggles lasted about 9 months. Suddenly, two prayers were answered. He had been praying, "Dear Lord, please help me find someone to help hold me accountable in my walk with you. Help me build a community in your name. Give me the strength to carry on and not be led astray." Ironically, around this same time, I was also praying, "Dear Lord, what do you want from me? Tell me if I'm where I belong. Show me where I need to be. Show me what you want me to do. Give me a sign to let me know I'm where you want me." Not long after these prayers, God answered. I was promoted and ended up on the same crew with Corey. Now, this wasn't the answers we were looking for, but he doesn't give you the answers you're looking for. He gives you his answer. I didn't realize when I first arrived on the crew, but God had placed me there for a reason. I met a guy named Kerry Banks, or Blue, which was his nickname. He was one of the floor hands working underneath us. Generally, a crew is going to be two drillers, two assistant drillers, six floor hands, a derrick hand, and an assistant derrick hand. And that's your drilling crews. So big rig, two top drives, a lot of stuff going on at one time. Little did I know that in meeting him, God was creating a connection between two people who were experiencing two total different stages of their lives. As an offshore employee, most of us spend more time with our coworkers than we do with our families. It's a struggle we all have to face in order to provide. Although we don't have any direct relationship with each other, we end up becoming some kind of family. Shortly after moving to the crew, approximately 6 weeks after meeting Blue, he was diagnosed with cancer. A struggle no family wants to encounter, but this was the beginning of my calling. We did everything we could to support him through his struggle. We set up charities, try and assist in financial burden that had just appeared in his family's life. We prayed daily for his recovery, but in the end, he left this earth to join our Savior in heaven. This was just another stepping stone in our walk that brought us closer to Jesus. Through our walks in faith, we have to have someone to hold us accountable, someone to challenge us when we fall or fail or begin to slip. That is what I became for Corey. I challenged him when he's beginning to stray. We have long talks, whether on the clock or off tower, which is what they call our shifts, is towers, about our Savior. When we struggle, we use the words from the good book to keep us on track. Not saying we never fail, but through accountability, we can always do better. What I didn't realize was that by holding Corey accountable in his faith, I was also growing myself. Through holding someone accountable with their walk of faith, I had to hold myself accountable in my own walk in order to help us both grow. During one of our Bible studies at work, while we were in the book of John, which we're still in the book of John, I once again found myself questioning whether I was succeeding in my mission to help grow the kingdom of God. John 1, 12 through 13 spoke to me, "Yet to all who did receive him, those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or husband's will, but from God." This led me to the realization that I wasn't doing all I could do in my walk. Through what I had been practicing and my salvation being restored, but I was falling short in the same way, failing my family, which is the most important thing to me. And the message I received, it told me that no matter what I did, although I had my salvation, I could not save my family without our Lord, which is what brought us to this church, New Beginnings. Regardless of your level of knowledge, when it comes to the Lord and Savior, you must set aside your pride and reach out to your fellow Christian for help. The only one in history of this world that was perfect and had everything in order was Jesus Christ. So if you feel you don't need the help or are already doing great, I encourage you to think again. If Jesus didn't do it alone, not to say he wasn't capable of walking alone, but neither should we. He surrounded himself with his disciples to support his walk. We were never meant to walk alone, but we were each meant to have our own walk. For a long time in my life, I let what was around me define me. I found my identity in what job I held, what position I had, and who I hung out with. I put God in a box and only brought him out when it was convenient or for selfish reasons. I still struggle with anger at times because it was the depiction of my life for such a long time. I'm not always who I need to be when it comes to my family, but even through all my failures in life, I still find love and comfort in our Lord. One of the things we like to tell everyone in our work ministry is, it doesn't matter that you fail, but what you do with the lessons learned from your failure. And then that's the end of my little testimony there, but the only question I have to leave y'all with is, Are you letting what's around you define your faith? Or are you letting your faith define what's around you? Thank you. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Thank you, brother.
All right. How about some questions for Brandon? Anyone? Yeah, Jim.
So I'm sure it happens. How do you deal with harassment from the other guys on the rig?
So it actually doesn't happen as much as it used to. So the more that follow, the less that kind of push, right? So it all depends on shift work, but anywhere from, we have about 10 that are consistent, and then third party works a different shift, so if they can get in there, it'll grow. And we actually run the one we have on our crew, then there's another crew that runs one as well, so there's two 12 to 12 shifts doing it, and there's a 6 to 6 crew doing it. So when we're on the rig, there's at least three times that someone can go to a Bible study.
Have you seen it grow? Have you seen the desire?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely grown up. It's grown in individuals and as a whole. We actually had a guy this time out there that he had some troubles with his girlfriend, who he also has a child with, and they both were at each other, right? And we took them and, him, because we were isolated to the rig. But instead of what your traditional friends would do and tell you, oh, well, you don't need her, just get rid of her, go away, she's fine, let's go hang out over here, we told him where he was struggling and kind of got them back together. We got them on the Bible app, so they started doing some of those devotions together, and they actually moved away from the friends that were influencing them negatively. So it's working. So we are mobile, and I think we have pictures that we can throw up. Huh? You can put up any of the rig pictures. Yeah, so that's one of the rigs I've worked on there, and so we're not stationary. We'll drill anywhere within the Gulf, overseas, anywhere that the water's deep enough. Yes, ma'am. That's one of the older rigs I worked on, a platform or a jackup before I went deep water.
And about how far out are you?
Right now we're about 170 miles out off the coast of Louisiana. And that's what controls the wells right there. That's on the bottom of the seafloor that we run down there on big conductor pipe. Yes, sir. Yeah, we take helicopters out there unless the weather's real bad, and then we take a crew boat that is a forever ride. I think I've been on two of them, and they were 12 hours. It's pretty miserable. Yep.
How deep down is it, really?
So it just depends on the water depth in the well, but I've drilled as far as 38,000 foot, and then we've been up to 10,000 foot of water. I haven't been in any internationals yet. I've been lucky enough to stay in the Gulf, so I don't have to go to 28-day rotations.
What again brought you here to New Beginnings?
So the scripture that I had read told me that I need to bring my family too, and I actually went onto Google, and I'm very big on how people preach, and so I listened to some of the recorded preachings. And then I found him, and I was like, well, he's my style of preacher, and then I came. And I also, my mom knew Tate, and Tate was coming here, so it just helped us come here because we had someone familiar to come with.
You are.
I was going to ask you, in your Bible studies, have you seen that people actually come back to their families, and this draws the whole family into
into the church.
Into Jesus, into church.
And normally we can, so like one of the guys, his grandfather's a preacher. His dad works offshore. And when he's having marital problems, Corey's good about asking him, well, are you still praying with your wife? Are you still doing this? And he's like, well, we stopped doing that for a little bit. And generally, they kick it back off, and then it smooths back out. So we've used it a lot to help these young guys. Most of our crew inside, which is the four older guys, most of our guys outside are in their 20s. So they're young. Some of them are 18. So. Mm-hmm. All the young guys are coming.
Oh, really?
And the guy that had the problem with his girlfriend,
yes.
He is 20, and we just got him in there. He's coming consistently. He actually prayed for the first time out loud ever in his life this past time at work. Just that people, I guess, set aside their pride or what they think other people will think. Because personally, I don't care what they think. I'm gonna do what I need to do, and I mean, let go of what the world cares about, and you know, go to God.
Other questions?
Yeah, I can talk about the last slide. So just to show you God is everywhere, we were doing riser, which that picture of that big piece of equipment that was in the center of the ship. Riser is the pipe that you run to get that to the sea floor. It's got 6 or 8 bolts that are 50 pounds apiece that you put in there, torque up. And it's got these inserts about that big around, that thick of solid iron, that you thread into, kind of like a nut. We were picking it up, and it's a big process. A lot of things are going on. And some guys went out there a little early. Well, one of those inserts, which weighed 50 pounds, fell from 75 foot high. And if you can, those steps right there, this is the regular floor. That's where the work platform is. It landed between 3 guys. So near-death experience, right? They were shaken up. It was a big deal. And the day after all the, you know, confusion and everything had kind of cleared, we were just cleaning the rig floor, as in moving equipment, no washing, nothing, and this was under a set of bushings. So shows you that God is with you even when you don't see him.
On the note of safety, I remember a couple of times years ago just seeing different shows on TV. You know, they'll feature, you know, the top 10 most dangerous jobs or the top 5 most dangerous jobs. And usually it kind of goes like taxi driver, law enforcement. And then, like, in the top 5 at least, it always showed, you know, the drillers, you know, the offshore drillers and the instruments coming up and the spewing of the oil and chains and just, I mean, it's a flurry of activity, and these guys are surrounding it, and they know what they do and where they're stationed. And I had asked Brandon about that because, for years it was, like I said, in the top 5 most dangerous jobs, guys losing limbs, losing their lives. And do you want to share a little bit about some of the things that they've actually done to protect the guys and what instrument you use that is kind of in a safer area on what's going on in front of you?
Yeah, so it used to be manual. So manual tongs, for any of y'all that know tongs, throwing chains. Now most of it's automated. So my job, I actually sit in a control chair, and I run a giant piece of equipment that basically comes out, grabs pipe, picks it up, moves it around, and these are 130-foot stands of pipe, and it puts it into a derrick. So it keeps everybody from having to be there, where when I broke out, I would have to push pipe, pull pipe. Everything was done by hand. It takes the human element out of it so that you're not there if something were to fail.
So it's a little safer, but still there's
Yeah, there's
the
always
unknowns,
potential.
There's always the, yeah. Has anybody ever died on one of your rigs?
So, not while I was on it. In 2017, I was on a rig that had just been crewed up. And I had actually just gotten off the rig. And the guy was on his last 3 hours of his shift. And there's this thing called a pipe skate, which is just a shuttle that drives in and out that has loading arms so that you can pick up stands of pipe without having to run the crane nonstop. You land a bundle, which is four or five joints, and then we can feed it up to the rig floor, pick it up, make it up without the crane. So, but he was standing in a place that they had designated to be safe, and the skate arm grabbed his pocket of his coveralls and actually pulled him between a stanchion post and those arms. So that's the only one I've been a part of that was fatality, but there have been a few incidents where people have smashed hands or smashed feet. Or
kind of on the safety note, during hurricane season, do they evacuate or do they just, you guys hunker down and ride it
so
out?
So we pull and run. So they don't get me off of there unless I tell them to, which I will tell them to because I live on the coast now. But so what they do is we'll unlatch, we'll pull all that heavy iron out, and we will basically run around the backside of the storm, and as it comes into the shore base, we're coming back to where we came from.
Gotcha. So you're actually bottling it in, so you can get right to the rig as soon as it passes.
Well, I stay on the rig,
yeah.
So that the ship will just, you don't get off the ship at all. We just pull everything, and then we drive around the storm. That's all we do. So sometimes it's real rough. I've come out of bed before, floating. It's not exciting to wake up to, but it's happened.
On your Bible studies, and this just kind of came to me as we were singing tonight, but do you guys ever sing as just the guys just sing?
Sing? So
songs of worship?
We do play songs,
okay. But
we don't have voices. We're not singers. We know what we're meant for. We're meant to work, not sing. So,
gotcha. No.
Yeah. But we do play. A lot of it is newer because we have a lot younger crowd. But showing them that you can still have your genre of music. They've got metal. They've got rock. They've got country. They've got all kinds of different genres of Christian music that takes all the cussing and the bad stuff out and lets you listen to the same style, same beats, just better words.
Yeah. And one of the questions I asked Brandon too when we met for lunch is, what do those guys struggle with? And you know, is there any during your downtime? Is there any alcohol or drugs for that matter? And he said emphatically, no. I mean, it is a clean ship through and through. You want to comment about that?
Yeah. So there's nothing. So just imagine it as a prison, because that's the best way to explain it. You're stuck there. Now you're not under guard and lock and key, but you can only do what's there. They don't provide anything you don't really need. So you'll get food, of course. You got water, all that stuff. But they don't have any kind of alcohol. You can smoke cigarettes if you do that, or dip, or whatever you're nicotine habits are, but aside from nicotine, you can't have it out there.
I hear y'all eat good.
We used to. Yeah, but you remember when you saw the oil dip down to zero? That was the end of eating good.
Great. Well, and as Kiki asked, how can we be, praying for you? Is there a way that when you're out there, that you could communicate to us in that moment? You have a Bible study, you hear about a situation, one of your guys. Is there a way to communicate to us so we can be praying for you or that particular individual in that moment or that day?
I can send messages, not maybe at 2 in the morning, but I can send messages.
Send them to Pastor Brad.
Well, we have, that's right, yeah. Gene will take them. At any hour, right, Gene? Great. Awesome. Well, any other questions related to the faith part, or the work, anything?
You live here?
Yeah, I actually live in Bridge Harbor.
And he's an avid fisherman. Avid fisherman. Growing up all his life. And
we used to. They took that away too. We merged companies, so the company that previously worked for let us do it, and the new company does not. So we used to come home with, I used to come up about 100 pounds of yellowfin tuna every trip home.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
And that was just me, not the whole rig. We'd catch 4 or 5 of them at a time, dress them out, sometimes cook them right there where we were cleaning them.
Well, what I'd like to do in closing, unless there's another question or thought, comment, anything, anyone, I want to pray for them. So, Brandon, would you stand down here in the front and let the altar workers could come, maybe kind of be in that first circle. And then if you feel led, you just want to put a hand on the shoulder of the person in front of you, we're just going to lift our brother up. And as the Spirit leads, I'll open and close, but just give voice to anything that God lays on your heart. And maybe if we could have his family as well. Yeah, come on up, guys. Well, this is a family deal. You can lift your voice or grab the microphone from me. We want to hear what you're praying so we can come into agreement. And then if all of you just want to extend a hand in agreement. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for my brother. Lord, from the day I met him, I just knew there was something special about him. And God, I love the testimonies. I love what you do. You're so gracious and merciful. You're so patient with us. And God, I thank you for Brandon. God, I thank you that you put him in an interesting place. You line his skills up with a much-needed job, a dangerous job, a much-needed job, but you also line him up where you want him in the kingdom. And then he's ministering to guys. He mentioned the word accountability multiple times. And Lord, I thank you, God, that he's calling guys out, not to dabble in their business, but to remind them who they serve and who they worship and what the Word of God says. That is so important. And God, I pray that you continue to use him, that the mantle of minister would continue to fall on him. And God, we pray the prayer of Jabez, that you would expand his territory. Use him in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Not only Brandon's family, but the other family members, Lord, that don't have a loved one with them for 3 weeks at a time, Lord, that you'll just sustain each one, and especially those that know who you are, that they'll be able to come to you, Lord, and seek you for guidance, seek you for wisdom, and seek you as provider and healer. We thank you so much for this ministry that you started, that you're touching these men one at a time, Lord. We just pray that you'll help us to know that people have these stories, that it's not just ministers that minister, but each one of us can do so in
That's
our
right.
workplaces.
That's right.
Father, I pray for the industry.
Yes.
Father, I ask that you touch the industry
yes.
and let people know how important this is for our continuance. Father, I ask that you touch each and every one of them and let there be a realization and an opening of the eyes, Father.
Brandon, I see a mighty angel of God over that rig. Father, I pray your warring angels, Father, over that rig. Father, I thank you that it is for peace, preservation, and safety, Father. I thank you that he is in a spiritual battle. But, Lord, you are victorious. Brandon is victorious. Father, we thank you for those men that are on there, Lord. We thank you that you're doing a mighty work, Father. And we give you the glory for it, Lord, because you're worthy.
Father God, I just pray for a continued spirit of wisdom and revelation of you. Father God, I pray not only would you live, continue to live in Brandon, continue to live through Brandon, Lord God. Lord, continue to draw people to you through him, Father God. And Lord, I thank you for this, Father God. I pray for new doors of opportunity to open, Father God, and I just thank you for this. Thank you for his family, Lord God. And Lord God, we just thank you for bringing him to this church to fellowship with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Excellent job.
Thank you.
Excellent job. Thanks, man. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, that's okay. Oh, yeah, no problem at all.